Yeah.
I got a brother that won't go to the doctor, so I'm going to tell him. You tell him. You're a medical professional. Tell my brother if he's listening. Go to the doctor. It's okay.
Go to the doctor. It's okay.
And, my mother will love you for this.
God have mercy on us all.
Did I screw that up?
And you can get Listen Up for only $14.99.
We're ready. We just ease into this. This is how we do it.
Okay.
Is that okay with you? Well, you know, we do this podcast on a weekly basis, and we love when we have guests, because then we don't have to come up with things to
all
talk
the interesting
about
stuff to talk about.
So today we're really blessed. One of Chapelwood's partners has been a partner with us for a long time, and we've sent teams to be with you in Kenya at Maua Methodist Hospital. And we have today, because you are in the States and visiting a lot of your partners and friends, who is the CEO right now and the president. It's Justice Morete.
Correct.
And I've learned that if I say Morete like Spanish, it sounds more like more like it's supposed to sound in Kenya than if I just say Morete like in South Georgia. Well, we're glad you're here, Justice. And we want to hear all about, first off, tell us about you and your family. And then we want to hear all about Maua Methodist Hospital and just talk about the partnership that we've had, but just the great work that you're doing there in Kenya.
Well, my name is Justus Marete, and I am in health services management by training. I study in public health at Boston University in New England, and I got involved in Maua Methodist Hospital in 2019. I have a family. My wife is name is Christine. She is a nurse, working in public health, managing a health facility. And we have children. We have adult children, three of them. And so I got invited by the Methodist Church in Kenya to help with the management at Maua Methodist Hospital in 2019. And Maua Methodist Hospital is 95 years old now, just getting to be 100
years. And it was started by the Methodist Church out of England, right?
Yes.
The Methodist Church.
It was started by the British Methodist Church in 1928. And it's in a town, Maua Town, which is a town, urban area with 50,000 people during the day, and it's serving the community, the surrounding community. The nearest hospital of a similar size would be like 60 kilometers away. And so the catchment area for Maua Methodist Hospital is about 900,000 people.
Wow, 900,000
yeah.
in that radius.
Yes.
And most of the folks, they don't have any kind of transportation. I mean, they're not able to drive 60 kilometers, some of the folks, right? I mean, you're serving a lot of people from within the community that live in the community.
That's right.
Live in the surrounding areas.
And it's a place with a lot of young people, a lot of unemployment. And so it's if they can't drive some distance, it's mostly because of not having the means to be able to travel that far. Yeah. So we serve a lot of people. Like the last 10 years, there's been introduction of motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And they made transportation easier for many people, but also because of road safety issues. Mm. The motorcycles cause a lot of accidents. At the hospital, we have people coming in with injuries almost every day from motorcycle accidents.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You have a lot of partner agencies. We have, I know there are a lot of churches around here in Houston, Chapwoods One, Memorial Drive. You went up to College Station while you were here this week. You were down in Clear Lake.
Yes.
These are all parts of the area. But you've also got, you know, the African Mission Healthcare, I mean, looking on side, the Methodist Church, the British Methodist Church, and the Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. We were talking about the Board of Global Ministries. Mm. So it's interesting that you have all these partners that are around the world that are helping things happen. We have a team that usually goes to Maui Methodist. We had a team that went last summer, I believe. From this church. I was supposed to go 1 year, and we were trying to remember why it was I didn't go. I think it was COVID, but it could have been something else. I don't remember. But we know Stanley Guattari very well, who's been at the hospital, and now he's doing ministry around with orphans in the community. What's a day like for you in the hospital and for your staff on a daily basis? What does the day look like?
At the hospital, we are 360 staff, like 7 medical consultants, specialists, 6 full-time medical officers, just below that, about 90 nursing staff, and a lot of other support staff, like in laboratory, pharmacy, physiotherapy, dentistry, eye care. And we also have a school, a college of health sciences, where we have 340 students, some of them studying to become nurses, others studying community health, and others counseling, and others still HIV care. So a day for us at the hospital starts at chapel. We start with a worship chapel at 7:30 in the morning for about 20 minutes before everybody disperses and goes to their work stations. We have like 6 church ministers who are chaplains, because as a mission hospital, part of the work is really to be able to minister to patients, to people who come and are admitted at our hospital. We have 200 beds inpatient, and we run, we're not too busy in the inpatient. We run about between 30 and 35 bed occupancy. We want to do more, because there are barriers as to why we cannot, we have not become busy yet. And it's the challenge of building up infrastructure and getting more people. We are like 300 kilometers from Nairobi, and it's considered remote. Maua Hospital is considered remote. So a lot of healthcare professionals have to really have a reason to come and work in Maua, to have to develop the commitment to serve in a rural area. And so after chapel in the morning, like my job is now to figure out what's not working, what's not, you know. We do have like our infrastructure, like the electricity, you know, for a 90-year-old hospital, some of the wiring into building, some of the electrical cabling and all these things are things which do not support current equipment and machines. So we have a lot of machines breaking down, which makes me even more have more gratitude, because we have a partner who is now helping us with the electrical upgrading, making sure that there is an improved cable layout across the hospital, and that's needed, because we might invest in new equipment, top of the ridge equipment, X-ray equipment, theater equipment, but as long as we don't have stable power, then it's still a danger of how we can take care of equipment.
I'm just curious, jump in anytime. I'm curious, like, day in and day out, what are the medical needs of people on a regular basis? Is it eye care, dental care? Is it basic health care? Or are there certain things that people deal with more in a rural hospital than they would, say, in a larger city, that you see that you deal with? Or do you deal with more children or more adults? Or is it just everything?
Well, it's everything. But in, you know, all the age from children to delivery of babies for mothers. We have a young population, so the demand for delivery maternity services is big. And the barrier tends to be, you know, as a mission hospital, we have to charge some fee. We try to keep the fees low, but it is still high for many, many people.
Yeah.
And so when we have a government facility not too far from where we are, because the government facilities, they don't charge, you know, they don't have, they use government. What we pay as taxes is what they use for salaries and wages and equipment. And so they do not have to charge fees, any even reasonable fees. So, and that's our competition, that we want to give reasonably good care, but then our low fees are still a barrier to having people come use. And this is the reason we keep our what we charge as medical fees low and depend on all these partners you mentioned for equipment, for infrastructure, whenever we need a new building. And that's our challenge. In terms of what we take care of, it's really all sorts of illness. Right now, you know, lifestyle diseases like diabetes and cancer and other diseases are coming in, you know, very fast. And we don't know whether it's because, you know, these things might have been there in the community, but maybe improved diagnosis and other things is causing them to look like they're new, even though they are not new. And so we, as a hospital, our range is all the way from primary health care. We have lots of work going on in the community, including going out as medical camps for reach out in places which are even much more remote than Maua. because really our goal is to make healthcare accessible to as many people as possible. And that's our goal as a mission hospital. And of course, the other one is we remain open even to all people, whether they are able to come and pay for services like the accident, the trauma from motorcycle accident and motor vehicle accident. We care for a lot of people who never pay their bills. Yeah.
What are some of the needs that you're that you have at a hospital right now, that as a person that's trying to figure out how to make things work better and get things fixed and those kinds of things, if you what are things that y'all have a need of?
The things we have a need for, we're developing a model where we can have people who can afford come for care and people who have low incomes come. So, and what we just did this year is that because of this model, we develop one of the wards and we make sure we set aside some beds, like private beds, and others for the general patients. And, you know, equipping a ward like that we need good hospital beds. Because the beds we have had before, some of them are old, like they can be described like not really hospital beds. So one of the needs we have, which we were even sharing at the conference, is the need for beds. We also need to ensure that there is when the sickest patient can get the level of care like ICU or just below ICU, HDU, high dependency unit care. And those need other equipment. They need improved beds, which have like five functions, where nursing staff can be able to raise and lower, for patients who are basically not able to move by themselves. And those sort of beds are expensive. ICU beds are expensive. And other things like monitors, you know, we want to give good nursing care, good medical care. And you can't do that without some monitors. And these monitors are also fairly expensive. And so it's a basic thing that we have a need for.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's not like super high specialty yes. things. It's like basic medical
basic medical equipment.
Yeah. Talk about, we were talking before Matt got here, and we could have recorded that. Jeff offered, but but we could talk about it again. And Jeff was interested in hearing, you and I am too, how you all moved through COVID. You were there, you came to the hospital in 2019, and of course in 2020, COVID. You know, a lot of the folks who listen to this podcast in the United States kind of know what they experienced in COVID, how we went through it, but maybe not, they have no idea what it was like in Kenya to go through COVID.
Yeah, when COVID came in March 2020, first of all, it was very scary. We thought that maybe in a month's time, we would all be dead. And we were scared.
Yes.
We got all the advice we could from experts who were studying infectious diseases. And we knew that we needed a lot of PPEs, protective equipment. And of, as a mission hospital, we don't have any savings. And so we knew that we were in a situation where if we didn't get any help, we would basically shut down. But we do have friends of Mawa Hospital, Mawa Methodist Hospital, and they quickly came together and we actually ended up getting oxygen concentrators, protective equipment, gloves, and masks. Some people actually made cloth masks. One elderly missionary, name is Barbara, she sat down on a sewing machine and she made like 900 pieces of cloth mask.
Wow. That's good.
And we use those because those are not disposable. You use a cloth mask
and you can wash
for
it
every day if you have. I had a set of three.
Yeah.
So I use one today and I clean it in the evening so that in 3 days' time I can use it again. Okay. So I would say we coped very well and God was gracious to us. COVID, yes, people died of COVID, but we survived. A lot of people survived.
And you were saying a lot of people died.
Yes.
And you were talking about how people would come in sick and you'd test and they would die before the results of the test would come back because you didn't have rapid testing.
That's right. We would actually take our laboratory. I mean, we would even have special people come in to draw the specimen, and that took like a day. And then we would send the specimen to Nairobi, which is 300 kilometers away, and we would wait for several days before we got the results back. I remember when we cared for a patient, basically no test had been done on the patient. The specimens went out and that patient died before the results were back. And when we got the results and it was found out that he had been positive, you know, we went tracing staff who had been in contact with that patient and we found 22 of our staff and some contact with that patient. And you know, we tested those 22 and, you know, taking their specimens to Nairobi and waiting for a full 5 days before we could get results. And every one of those 22 is sitting in their house, not moving anywhere.
Yeah. Wow.
It was a scary time. Yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, and to not be able to get the test back.
Yes.
To take that long, and then everyone has to isolate, yes. And then when they come back and they find out, okay, 22 people, you start to do contact tracing, and then who are they
in contact with?
In contact with? Yeah, I think it's. Yeah. I think it gives you an appreciation for the healthcare we went through, and you know, here we were talking earlier about people got sideways with how COVID was handled, and I mean, you saw it in real time. I mean it affecting vulnerable people, people losing their lives for it. And so trying to take care and going through the tracing and going through the, what do you call it? Not the solitary confinement. That sounds like prison,
isolation.
But the isolation or the quarantine. Yeah. And you know, in a lot of places that may not have the kind of medical care that we do.
Hmm.
That's very important. I can imagine. Yeah. You know, you said something that I never thought of when COVID came. You said that a lot of you thought in 2 months we'll be dead.
Hmm.
I never thought that.
Yeah.
We were really alive to... I mean, yeah. We stopped, everything stopped. COVID stopped everything.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. No,
we couldn't go to chapel in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people have to be careful and go to their places of work, all masked up. And we had these hand wash stations everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And sanitizing and installing all the dispensers. And it's like, a person, you have to wash your hands like... uncountable times during the day.
Yes.
Yes.
And I wonder about it being in a rural area as well, and that there's, I mean, just the amount of folks that depend on each other in those settings, and the necessity to really be in close contact in order to get needs met and to do daily life, which is different than in a really large city, I think, in some ways.
Yeah.
It must have been really scary.
It was like, you know, a complete change of culture where, I mean, people like shaking hands in greetings every day, and that hand to stop. And it's like, ooh, weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that that I've found interesting is, like, you know, the hospital has needs like any other place, basic needs. Your website's Methodist Hospital Maua, and it's spelled M-A-U-A. So if you go to methodisthospitalmaua.org, we put it in the show notes too, but you can learn a lot about the hospital and what you do. And there's a lot of great pictures on there, and the history, the mission and the vision of what happens there. And it's just powerful to kind of see everything you do with all the partners that you have. And to hear the needs. So I would encourage folks to go and check that out. And, you know, a lot of the partnerships like we're doing here, I think we're having a dinner tomorrow night where some folks are going to come and hear about what you're doing here at Chapelwood, because we've got a lot of people here at this church that have been supportive of Maua Methodist and have traveled over there. Mm. When teams come, we've teams from here or Memorial Drive Methodist or other places. What do you usually have mission teams when they come? What are they usually doing when they're there?
Usually we would have some activity like, you know, a lot of areas around the hospital, they have something that needs to be fixed, even painting our children's ward. sometimes it is helping to keep some records or arrange some records. And sometimes it is going out to a medical camp to screen people for eye care services or even these non-communicable diseases, taking blood pressure and other things like that. So the teams get involved with whatever.
And it doesn't just have to be medical either. I think
you
were talking
sometimes
about
building a house.
Yeah, you were talking about going to College Station and talking about your electrical system to be updated. And I know that we've had one of our members who has traveled before helped with some IT and computers and information technology, which has been very helpful. All those things are important to make a hospital run. So what's your vision for the future? I know as you look ahead, what do you hope to see? What's your vision for the future for the hospital and for the community that you live in?
Our vision for the future is really to be the place that people go when they need health care, and also to be able to do a lot of preventative health care, not waiting for people to become sick, but also at the same time to get the hospital to a level where even specialized health care can be available, from the range of primary health care all the way to good surgery, trauma care, but also to train a lot of young people because we still have a deficit of healthcare workers. We have a College of Health Sciences. We would like to see doctors, you know, train in family medicine at postgraduate level. And so the future for Mauma Methodist Hospital is really to do more training, research, get involved in research that informs healthcare improvement, and basically ensure that healthcare is accessible to people, to have community insurance where people really can get care without delaying. Because some of the issues we have to deal with is people delaying the decision to come for care because of many, many barriers. And we would like to see that reduced so that people can come for health care at the earliest opportunity. In any case, that brings down the cost of taking care of people. Some of the, you know, the mortality we experience is because of people coming too late.
You've got a degree in public health, probably. Like, it's not just you're educating students on your campus who will be in healthcare, but there's also education of people in the community. I would imagine some people are just scared to go to the doctor, like here too, or scared to go to the hospital, or they think they can't afford it, or whatever they think in their minds. Are you all at work educating the people in the areas around to when you're thinking about preventive health care? That seems to be
Yes, and we do that in schools, because we have many primary schools and secondary schools, and people these days are organized in community support groups. When we go out as a medical camp, we encourage people to get their teeth checked, their eyes checked, their BP checked, and generally encourage people to come for health care, to know that it's a good thing not to wait until people are too sick.
I got a brother that won't go to the doctor, so I'm going to tell him. You tell him. You're a medical professional. Tell my brother, if he's listening, go to the doctor. It's okay.
Go to the doctor. It's okay.
And, my mother will love you for that. She's going to make him listen.
His ringtone now.
Now, a professional has said you need to go to the doctor. Well, I really appreciate you just spending a little time with us, telling us about the hospital and the things that are going on there. I would encourage people to go check out Methodist Hospital, Maua, .org. And that Maua is MAUA. And it's a great website. And I love the way you do it with the pictures.
Great pictures.
Change too. So it's kind of like you get a sense of all the great work that you're doing there. I really appreciate you being here and traveling to Houston and all around. Anywhere else besides Texas that you're going to go? I know you're going home, I think you said Monday.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
On Sunday.
Going home on Sunday.
Yeah, this time I will not go to many places.
Okay. And I think you said it's going to take you 9 hours to Europe and then another 8 hours.
8 hours to Nairobi. And another 5 hours to get to Maua Methodist Hospital.
To get to Maua, yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a short little 24-plus hour trip. Well, I hope you get some sleep on the plane.
I'm
rooting for you.
It's wonderful being with you here on this podcast, and I thank you for the work you do.
Well, thank you. And let us know too. There are teams that go if you're ever interested in traveling on a mission team. We've got some folks here that love going to Kenya. Of course, Noel brought you up here. I tried to get her on the podcast. She wouldn't do it. She said she doesn't do that. She's retired from anything that involves getting her on the.
Nothing we like. We love more than welcoming people, new people, and becoming. I mean, the visits are developing friendships and fellowship, and there's nothing we have more than that.
The people that have gone to Kenya, it's amazing. I think we were part of the commissioning of that team this year, and they were just watching them, the excitement about going, and then the stories of connection and grace coming back. It's transformative. So thank you for all you're doing, Justice.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Well, I hope that everybody will like and subscribe the podcast, and make sure you check out Maua Methodist, or what did I say it was called? The MethodistHospitalMaua.org. I said that 20 times. So we have a way we sign off. I say my name. He says his name. Then you say your name.
All right.
And then I say goodbye.
Yeah.
So I'm John Stevens.
I'm Matt Russell.
I'm Justice Moretti.
Which you say it much better than I do. Thank you, Justice. And this is Pod Have Mercy.